Welcome to the PSPA podcast. I'm Helen Chapman, PSPA's Communication Manager, and today I'm here to discuss driving and getting about after being diagnosed with PSP or CBD. This is a common question that our helpline here, and as we thaw from the winter months, getting out and about more is often on our minds. So to help plan your day-to-day errands, days out, or even a holiday away, we'll be discussing driving and other ways you can assure you can get about safely. To help delve into this subject, I am joined by Dion Ward from the PSPA Helpline. Welcome, Dion.
Hello, Helen.
So, before we get started in discussing the topic, I was wondering, it'd be great if you could quickly cover what you do in your role as a helpline care navigator, please.
Yes, so I support people across Wales who have been diagnosed with progressive supranuclear palsy or corticobasal degeneration, as well as supporting their carers, family, or loved ones. I also support healthcare professionals in the form of telephone or email advice or education sessions. Recently, I've been part of running a PSP and CBD clinic in Newport and Swansea areas as well. So, yeah.
Oh, fab. It's good to hear about supporting the clinic. So anyone listening might and is located in that area might get to meet Dion face to face. So getting back to the subject of the podcast, driving and getting about. Following a diagnosis, we regularly hear from individuals and families who want to discuss whether or not they should still drive. Once someone has received a diagnosis and they are a driver, what should they do? Should they contact the DVLA straight away?
Yeah, well, legally, the person is required to inform their insurer and the DVLA of their diagnosis, and failure to inform the insurer may invalidate the policy. So it is important. This does not mean that your license will automatically be withdrawn immediately, though. The DVLA will probably ask the GP or consultant for a medical report to ensure that the person is still safe to drive. However, dependent upon the symptoms, it may be possible for the person to continue driving with PSP and CBD until symptoms change. The person may find that they want to stop driving before then, as driving may become more challenging and they may not feel actually safe doing so. There is further information on the DVLA medical inquiries site on the gov.co.uk to look at as well.
So if during a report from a GP, it's recommended that someone should stop driving, but the individual still feels safe being a driver, is that a decision that can be appealed?
Yes, it is. You can challenge the GP's advice to stop driving. It's not actually the GP that legally revokes the license. That decision is the responsibility of the DVLA. So you can also get a second opinion from another doctor if you aren't happy with what the first doctor has written to the DVLA. So you could get a second opinion, and it actually would be the DVLA that made the decision about whether you have your license revoked or not. However, what I would say is obviously the GP's advice does need to be taken seriously. So make sure you have a full and frank conversation with your GP about your symptoms.
Okay, thank you. I agree that it is a difficult decision to make to stop driving because I know people can feel like there's a big loss of independence, but it is definitely something to take seriously. If they were recommended to stay driving, would they have to take a driving assessment? in order to continue driving.
The DVLA will sometimes require a person to attend a driving centre and to be assessed for their ability to drive safely. The assessment may include things such as has PSP or CBD affected your driving ability? Can you judge distances accurately? Do you experience confusion regarding the rules of the road? Things like are you able to physically and mentally act quickly in the event of an emergency? And they will be assessing your safety and the safety of those around you.
Yeah, there's a lot to think about then in that assessment. If people are allowed to continue driving with their PSP or CBD diagnosis, could they access support from a scheme like Motability? What is Motability and what is the criteria for applying?
So, Motability is the scheme that allows people on certain benefits to enjoy a new car or a scooter or a powered wheelchair without the worry of owning or running one. I think they say at the moment around 600,000 people with disabilities and their families are benefiting from this scheme. So, it's obviously a worthy scheme to look at. The eligibility element of that, so you can apply to join the mobility scheme if you receive an enhanced rate of mobility under the PIP, which is personal independence payment. If you get the higher rate mobility under the part of the Disability Living Allowance, the DLA, the enhanced rate mobility part of the adult disability payment, which is available in Scotland. Also in Scotland, it would be the higher rate mobility component of the child disability payment. Also, if you have the War Pensioners Mobility Supplements, which is the abbreviation is WPMS, and the Armed Forces Independent Payment, AFIP. You need to have had at least 12 months left on your allowance if you're applying to join the scheme, and you can check your award length on your allowance award letter, or you can contact your allowance provider and they will let you know. So there's also a driving assessment grant, DAG. DAG is grant-funded scheme supported by Motability Foundation to assist drivers with disabilities who are not motability customers. So this grant can help towards the costs of driving assessments or vehicle adaptations and familiarisation lessons at a driving mobility centre. That grant is available to disabled people who receive certain state benefits or are on low incomes. So if you contacted your local driving mobility centre, they can discuss that a little bit more with you. That grant aims to pay for a driving assessment at the mobility centre and recommend any vehicle adaptations. They are one-off payments, and any future maintenance, alterations, or updates relating to any adaptations are not covered. So it's worth bearing that in mind.
Oh, I didn't know about that second grant that you've mentioned. So that's definitely worth knowing about. But in terms of eligibility for either Motability or that grant, it does seem like it depends very much on the individual circumstances. If you are unsure if you are eligible for Motability, you can get in touch with the PSPA helpline. He'll be able to talk through the criteria with you, and if you would be eligible, you can contact the helpline on 0300 0110 122. Moving on from schemes that can help with the assisting with purchasing a car or driving assessments or adaptations, onto more accessibility to parking. Can people diagnosed with PSP or CBD apply for the Blue Badge scheme? What does that scheme enable people to do? And do you have to be the driver in order to apply for the Blue Badge scheme?
So the Blue Badge scheme is a UK-based scheme, and it provides special parking rights for people with severe mobility issues or hidden disabilities. So what it does is it allows them to park closer to destinations, often in disabled bays or on yellow lines, for limited times. So please bear that in mind, but without charge. They're normally administered by local councils. Particularly, it helps people with conditions like severe walking difficulties or certain mental health issues, whether driving or as a passenger. And yes, people who have been diagnosed with PSP or CBD can apply for the Blue Badge scheme. However, not everyone will be eligible. Some people may automatically qualify for the scheme if they meet certain criteria, such as the person receives a higher rate disability allowance on the under the mobility component, or the person receives the personal independence payment or PIP scoring 8+ for moving around or 10 for planning and following journeys as part of the PIP assessment. If the person is registered blind, if they receive War Pensioners Mobility Supplement, or if they receive a lump sum benefit from the Armed Forces Compensation Scheme, that comes under tariffs level 1 to 8, and if they have a permanent impairment preventing them from walking. If anyone falls into these categories, I mentioned it before, but they can apply directly at gov.uk, or they can give us a call on the helpline at PSPA. Some people might be eligible if they have the inability, if they have severe walking difficulties, so the inability to walk or considerable difficulty in their walking. If they have a hidden disability, such as autism, dementia, or anxiety, if they have an arm disability, so severe disability to both arms, or if they have a personal, if they have, sorry, if they have a terminal illness. So that would be a life-limiting illness, and that would be accompanied by an SR1 form. So that would be something to discuss with a GP. If anyone falls under these categories that I just mentioned, they can apply for the Blue Badge scheme online. That would be via their council, and the council may arrange for an assessment with a healthcare professional.
Thanks, Dion. I think it's really helpful to know that you don't have to be the driver in order to apply. This means that any carers or families who regularly drive around with their loved one living with PSP or CBD can apply to the scheme to help with getting out and about so that you can access better parking bays.
Yeah, it makes such a huge difference to families and to people with these conditions.
Definitely, and can take the worry out of having to navigate a long distance from, say, a car park to the shop's entrance or a doctor's surgery entrance. So it is a great scheme.
One thing I would say, Helen, is that often I speak to people, maybe in the earlier stages of their diagnosis, who don't want to apply for the Blue Badge for various reasons, and that is absolutely okay if you don't. But what I would say is, as early as you can, get that application in for the Blue Badge, because it does make a huge difference to getting out and about.
Yeah, and it can obviously take time to process that application before you receive the blue badge if you're successful. And you know, we always recommend, don't we, to try and get on top of things as early into the diagnosis as possible so that everything's all in place for when you actually do need it, if you don't need it at that moment. So, if someone can't drive anymore, what recommendations are there that they can so that they can still get about and still be part of their community, see their friends and families, do their errands?
So, the first thing probably we would ask is, are there any friends and family or neighbours or loved ones who can drive? And to have a chat with those people around you and see if they can support you to get out and about. And if it's If the difficulty is getting in and out of a car, then adaptations may help that. So, for example, you can get seats that twist. So it might be that you have a seat that twists that goes in other people's cars when they take you out. That would be something to ask the occupational therapist about, actually, if it is that somebody else is taking you out about and getting in and out of a car is difficult. But yeah, I'd say the first port of call normally is, we would say, is there anyone around you, friends, family, loved ones, neighbours, that you might be able to ask and get support from? There are things like community transport services, and these are very different in different areas. So I would highly recommend calling your helpline care navigator at PSPA to have a chat about these. They will be able to help you see what is in your area, work out what local transport services there are. You can also search on the gov.uk website for community transport services and shop mobility, and you pop your postcode in. In some areas, there are private drivers who will take you to a place and wait and bring you back. There would be a cost to that, and they are sometimes hard to find. Again, I would recommend speaking to your helpline care navigator at PSPA or any support groups you go to, any healthcare professionals you might see, or any local networks that you might have, because they might know in your area what local transport there is.
Yeah, I know. In my area, so I live in Northamptonshire, there's a volunteer driver scheme available. I think you pay like an annual membership fee, and then you pay a subsidised amount for your journeys, and that's there to kind of help you get to medical appointments, dentist appointments, or go and get your shopping, bits like that, and they can be really useful schemes to join up to.
And there's some areas there are. I cover Wales, and where I live, we have an organisation called PAVO, who are a voluntary organisation. And you can phone their helpline, and they know what community transport is in the area. So, yeah, it's about speaking to people in the community or your helpline care navigator at PSPA. Get some help with that. Don't feel like you're on your own having to find that.
Yeah, great. Yeah, the helpline is a great resource to tap up for signposting onto local services and support. Now, I mentioned earlier before that, like, giving up driving, it can feel like a massive loss to your independence, but it doesn't have to be that way. What would you say to anyone who might be feeling a bit like that?
Oh, absolutely, Helen. I'd say it can be really worrying to feel that for most people, that's a big part of their independence, for those of us that drive. So, a huge loss, really, when you find out that you're not able to do that anymore. I guess what I would say is that give yourself a bit of time to allow those feelings to be, and then I think it's about understanding that it may feel that you've lost your independence because the driving license has been taken away. However, it doesn't stop you from getting out and about. It's about finding the right people to support you with that. Having conversations, reaching out to us or to people around you, to local support groups and networks, and finding out what's out there. And you might actually be surprised. And sometimes what I think it can do is open other avenues for people as well, because potentially then, if you are going out and using community transport, you're meeting other people that might be having similar struggles, or you're able to make a different network that you may not have realised before. So sometimes there can be some different benefits when life changes, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of looking at it, and I completely agree that, community transport can open up a new network of people that you can see and speak to on a regular basis. So, it's definitely worthwhile having a look at what is about for you in your area. So, as well as like community transport, if people are still feel comfortable getting out and about on public transport. Are there any discount passes available?
There are, and they are different in different areas. So I'll go through the different areas if that's okay. So for England, as part of the English National Concessionary Travel Scheme, it's quite a mouthful, isn't it? You may be eligible for a disabled bus pass. So the best thing to do is either, again, I keep saying this, but contact us, your helpline care navigators at PSPA, or you can contact your local council to find out who issues the bus passes in your area. So that's England. Scotland, you get a free bus pass if you're disabled and live in Scotland and you meet the eligibility criteria. You can also in Scotland get free travel for a companion if you qualify for it. So that's worth knowing. And again, either speak to your helpline care navigator in Scotland, or you can go on the mygov.scot forward slash disabled bus pass and you can get some more information from there. For Wales, you do get free bus travel. Again, like some of the other things, you may qualify for it. So contact your local council or us at PSPA to find out. And UK wide, you can get a disabled person's rail card. So that means you get one third off of rail fares for both you and a friend or a carer with a disabled person's rail card. So that's what you would get with that rail card. And they're available on the Disabled Persons Rail Card website.
That's really worth knowing about the discount that applies to your carer or friend or family member as well. Are there any other aids available to ensure people can get about as safely as possible?
Yeah, so with regards to travelling in a vehicle and then getting to and from the vehicle to the destination, it would be worth speaking to your occupational therapist to have an assessment. They can give you some advice on what extra aids would be helpful. There are various aids to get in and out of cars and to help you travel from and to your destination, such as a rollator, wheelchairs, things like swivel seats can be really helpful. I touched on it just a minute ago, can help you get in and out of the car without twisting too much. There's also supportive car handles. They're kind of they're like handles that can go on the car as you get in and out so that you can give yourself some extra support and things like a hoist to help lift someone in and out of a car. But your occupational therapist is definitely the best person to do an assessment and make sure you've got the right mobility aids to travel.
Yeah, I have seen those handles for cars being advertised, and they do look really handy. I think it can often, when you swivel round, you've got your legs out, you can lean forward and use the door to put some weight on. But then often it's like, what do you use for the other side to kind of push up on? And they can attach to the car kind of by the side of the seat to give you another platform to kind of push your weight up on and get out. So I think they look really, really useful. And in terms of accessing these aids, you mentioned occupational therapist. How would someone, if they've not already had an assessment, how would someone go about getting that assessment in place so that they could look at what aids they need?
Often, if someone has a neurologist or a geriatrician or a consultant, they will refer the person for occupational therapy. If you don't see your consultant very often, you could ask the Parkinson's nurse if you have a Parkinson's nurse or your GP. They could refer to occupational therapy. If you feel like you don't know who to ask, again, I would always say pick up the phone to ask because we can help you and steer you in the right direction.
And I'm guessing it'd be the OT as well, as part of this same process that if, say, you need something like a walking frame or rollator or wheelchair in order to get from the car to your destination, they'd be the ones that would be able to help with that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Any type of mobility, really, occupational therapist, OT, will be the person to sort of assess your mobility, see what your needs are, chat to you about, are you going out in the car? What sort of distances do you need to travel? And then they can advise on the best mobility aid for you to be able to live in the way that you wish to live.
Great. Are there any other tips that might help people plan their outings?
One thing I would say, it kind of leads a little bit to what I was saying before, is often I hear from people that, or people, I hear from people that they don't want to bother someone, or they don't think they can do something. But what I would say is, just from having those conversations, you'll probably be surprised at what you can do. So, for example, people might not know about the external car handles that you just, talked in a little bit more detail about. So sometimes I think you might feel that, well, there's nothing I can do. But once you've had a few conversations with the right people, you find out that, oh, there are these other aids that actually could help me get into my loved one's car, or get in and out of a car easier, or walk about. So yeah, please do talk to your healthcare professionals or us, to keep you as mobile as possible and as independent as possible. One other area I would suggest is worth looking at is our online forum, which is called Health Unlocked. So the forum has a wealth of information shared by other people who have been diagnosed with PSP or CBD, or their loved ones and carers. It's a really useful peer-to-peer format. So there'll be lots of people on there talking about, oh, my mum has PSP. We bought her this item to help her get in and out of the car. And lots of people posting questions of a similar thing. Well, what can I do for my husband? I still want to take him out, or he still wants to be able to drive. Have you got any suggestions in regards to aids or that kind of thing? So I'd recommend having a look at Health Unlocked for some advice from other people in similar circumstances.
You can also read about different people's personal experiences in PSPA Matters, our quarterly magazine. We regularly feature experience of people living with the conditions in the magazine, and actually our edition in December, so the last edition of 2025, it did actually include some experiences of people who access support grants from us, PSPA. In order to help them with their day-to-day living. And it included one couple who used the grant to help get an electric wheelchair, and that sort of enabled them to spend a little longer outside, go for a walk down the coast, take a look at the shop displays rather than just head straight to the cafe for a drink and then straight back to the car again. So that's also a wealth of information, the magazine. So if you're not already subscribed, please do get in touch and we can ensure you receive a copy. So you mentioned that an OT might recommend different aids and equipment to help them get out and about or in and out of a car. Are there any funding available that could help them purchase any of the equipment that is recommended?
Yes, certainly. I mean, some of it may be paid for by local authority. So it's worth having that chat with occupational therapist. But if it isn't, then PSPA offer a support grant of up to £300. So that could be used for anything that makes the person's daily life better. That would certainly be for something like a mobility aid for the car, like a swivel seat, or towards a wheelchair or a rollator. So, yeah, speak to us about the support grant if you need to purchase something, one of the mobility aids, yeah.
The helpline is here to help. If you have any questions off the back of the discussion we've had today, you can email them at helpline@pspassociation.org.uk, or you can call on 0300 0110 122. Also, we would love to hear about the different ways that you've found have helped you get out and about. So, if you do have any ideas or experiences of getting mobility aids or anything that has helped you get in and out of a car or ensure you still manage to visit your friends and family. We'd love to hear from you. So do post up on our social media platforms on Facebook and Instagram. It's at PSP Association on Facebook and Team PSPA on Instagram. Thank you.